In 2012, the U.S. was the number one exporter of pork in the world, exporting pork to over 100 nations and valued at over $6 billion. This level of exports accounts for 27% of production and added nearly $56 to each hog sold by U.S. pork producers. It's important to note that while exports are crucial to the bottom line of our pork producers, increasing our exports is important to many more Americans than just pork producers. The industry today supports an estimated 550,000 domestic jobs, of which 110,000 are supported by U.S. pork exports. Today I'm joined by Nick Giordano, National Pork Producers Council Vice President and Counsel for International Affairs, Bobby Acord, National Pork Producers Council Consultant and former APHIS Administrator, and David Bond, Outside Counsel for the law firm of White & Case, to provide an update on three significant issues that impact U.S. pork exports. Over the last week, we have met with U.S. and foreign WTO officials in Geneva to discuss a number of matters that we have just concluded a series of meetings here in Brussels with U.S. and EU officials and with the EU private sector representatives on the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, negotiations. Recently, Chile initiated a safeguard investigation on all imported frozen pork, including imports from the United States. Chilean pork producers allege that imports have resulted in losses to its industry and have requested an additional duty of 14.3% on all imports. However, NPPC believes that the charges of price distortion are unfounded, and U.S. pork exports are not injuring the Chilean pork industry. In fact, Chilean pork producers continue to account for over 95% of domestic consumption, while at the same time, Chilean producers have significantly increased their sales in export markets. The National Pork Producers Council is working with its outside U.S. Trade Council and has hired local counsel in Chile to vigorously defend the interests of U.S. pork producers. Following the release of the USDA's final rule on country of origin labeling, both Canada and Mexico issued statements that each country will consider challenging the new rule as the rule continues to discriminate against meat products derived from livestock for their respective countries. In addition, each country stated that it will consider retaliatory measures against the United States by way of increased tariffs on both U.S. agricultural and manufactured goods, should the WTO determine that the rule does not comply with the WTO rules. While U.S. pork producers believe the United States must live up to its WTO obligations, NPPC does have concerns with the new rule. We do believe a solution can be found that satisfies U.S. WTO obligations, provides sufficient label information to consumers, and does not cause economic disruptions in the pork industry. NPPC will do everything it can to avoid potential trade retaliation by Canada and Mexico. In regard to the TTIP negotiations, NPPC fully supports the TTIP only if the final deal results in all issues being resolved, both tariff measures and non-tariff measures. Put differently, NPPC expects that all tariffs on pork will go to zero and that every non-tariff SPS barrier will be eliminated. This is the type of outcome for pork has been achieved in every other U.S. free trade agreement, and a trade deal with the EU should be no different. Currently, the U.S. is exporting more pork to Honduras than it does to the EU, the second largest pork-consuming market in the world. This is a direct result of numerous tariff and non-tariff barriers to U.S. pork. According to Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes, the increased U.S. pork exports generated by the removal of all barriers through a successful TTIP will create over 17,000 new jobs in the United States within 10 years of implementation of a final agreement. I'd like now to handle it over to Nick Giordano for some comments.
Thank you, Randy. You might be wondering why these three issues. Very simply, they're all very hot topics, which is why, as Randy mentioned, on behalf of pork producers. We were in Geneva earlier this week. Why we're in Brussels now, but I'll start with the Chilean safeguard proceeding. That was initiated in Chile the week before last. This is a process through which the commission in Chile, which is examining the case, has a 90-day period to make a recommendation to the president of Chile. Like anti-dumping and countervailing duty law, safeguard law is derivative from international WTO standards. So we trust that the Chileans will follow the rules, and we will hold them to that. I would note that the standard of injury in a safeguard investigation is significantly higher than the material injury in either a dumping or countervailing duty investigation. And there's really, in a dumping case, and I know some of you may be familiar, you're looking, there's a pricing side and an injury side. In a countervailing duty case, there's a subsidy side and an injury side. In a safeguard proceeding, you're really just looking at injury, and it's a much higher standard. And essentially, in layman's terms, you've got to show that imports of pork from the United States are, you know, the most significant or a very significant cause of the injury to the domestic industry in Chile. That simply is not the case here. And I'm confident that if we get a fair shake in Chile, we will exonerate ourselves. The Chile only imports about 5% of its needs. It's a big exporter. They've had some dislocations in the industry there. We think we have a very strong case. And as Randy said, we are not only working with our outside trade counsel, White and Case, and we've got David Bond here with us in Brussels, but we've also hired local counsel to assist us in Santiago. And pork producers in the United States can rest assured that we will aggressively be defending their interests in this market. And I might put a plug in for free trade agreements and expanded trade. And it's because of the Chilean-U.S. FTA that we've been able to expand our shipments to Chile. Trade is a good thing, and which is why we're here in Brussels, really, on the TTIP. But before I get to the TTIP, country of origin labeling. NPPC had problems and was opposed to the original legislation as approved in the U.S. Congress. We've got concerns about this new regulation that just was released by the administration. But I think we frankly think that the rule will cause commercial dislocations. But our greatest concern is the potential for retaliation. And last week, we had both Canada and Mexico release what I'll call draft or mock retaliation lists. So just to be clear on this, these retaliation lists have no force of law at this point. They're kind of starting the dialogue, if you will, both in Mexico and Canada, the internal dialogue in those countries, where the governments will be discussing with their stakeholders how, if the United States remains out of compliance, they might enforce their rights against the United States. So, meat, not surprisingly, on the list, a lot of other products, as Randy mentioned, and it certainly got our attention. But just to be clear, there's no legal right for either Canada or Mexico to retaliate at the present time. The next phase of the case will be for the WTO to review whether or not this new U.S. rule is in compliance. So there will be a panel. And then likely whoever loses that panel will appeal. The process, I think under ideal conditions could take 6 months. I think realistically we're looking at something perhaps as long as a year from now. It's only at that point if, and this is a big if, the United States loses, then at that point, which would be sometime during probably next year, the Mexicans and the Canadians can formally petition the WTO and begin the retaliation process, which in and of itself will take additional time. So just want everybody to be clear that even though those lists came out, it does not mean that retaliation is imminent. However, we certainly are very concerned in the U.S. pork industry. Pork producers are very concerned, and we want the U.S. to come into compliance with WTO rules. And I'm going to hand it back to you, Dave. One other comment, actually. I'm sorry, on TTIP, we're in Brussels because we have a big concern about free trade between the U.S. and the EU, and that concern is if this negotiation is done like the other U.S. FTAs, it's going to be a great thing for the U.S. pork industry. We're 17-0. In every U.S. FTA to date, tariffs on pork have been completely eliminated. They go to zero. And we've also been very successful in getting our non-tariff measures, our SPS measures, fixed. If that's the case here, Randy quoted Iowa State economist Dermot Hayes that we'd be looking at about 17,000 new jobs created in the U.S. I mean, there's tremendous potential for us here. Right now, the EU is, on a per capita basis, the biggest pork-consuming market in the world overall. They're number two behind China. But we exported, as Randy said last year, more to Honduras than we did to the European Union. So we've got everything to gain. Tomorrow we expect the Council of Ministers here to vote. We believe that they're going to give the Commission a mandate to negotiate with the United States. Monday and Tuesday is the G8 summit, and we expect, we hope, that the U.S. and the EU will announce the formal launch of negotiations with the first round hopefully to commence shortly after the announcement. So pork producers have a huge stake in the TTIP negotiations. We've been very active, really the past year since this has been seriously under discussion, and we're here representing producers to both the U.S. mission and the Europeans in Brussels. Dave, back to you.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Randy. We'll now open it up to questions. If you want to direct it to someone specifically, either Randy or Nick or, again, Bobby Acord, who's our consultant, former USDA Animal Plant Health Inspection Service Administrator, and then David Bond, our outside counsel.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. One moment for our first question. Our first question comes from the line of Jackie Fatka of Feedstuffs. Please proceed.
Good morning. This is Jackie Fatka with Feedstuffs. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess first off, can you tell us a little bit about the Chilean market, how much that is? And then also on the cool side, has Canada or Mexico officially requested consultations? Obviously, they've released their retaliations, but at the WTO level, have they actually taken any action to start the process of what has to come to see if the rule does come into compliance?
This is Nick Giordano. With respect to Chile, our exports have gone up sharply since the commencement of the FTA. It is not what we would characterize as a top-tier market. When we, as Randy mentioned, in any given year, we export to over 100 countries. So, our short list of big markets is, Japan and China, Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and so on. Chile is a smaller market, but an important and growing market, and one in which we're going to vigorously defend our interests. It's not going to. It can and will impact prices. So if the Chilean, as I said, we don't believe that the their allegations are with warrant. We believe we'll be fully exonerated. We have a very strong case. But if for some reason there was an adverse ruling, then we'd be looking at some form of import restriction. And there are a variety of remedies available, such as increased duties. We don't think that's going to be the case. It's not analogous for us to losing the Canadian market or the Mexican market, but we want to defend this market, and we believe we'll be fully exonerated. Now, Canada and Mexico, that's a different story. And if we were to be retaliated against, if we were to lose the either of those markets, it would be, words like cataclysmic come to mind. So obviously, pork producers have a very big stake in making sure the U.S. abides by its WTO obligations. But as I said, we're not at the point of retaliation. This is a one step in the process with these, what I characterized as draft or mock lists being released. The countries have reached a sequencing agreement. And what that essentially means is a procedural way forward for the WTO to examine whether or not this new U.S. rule complies with WTO rules. That process, under best case scenario, might take about 6 months. We think realistically we're looking at, perhaps up to a year. And if the WTO upholds this new rule, then the case is over, and Mexico and Canada have no further legal rights. If, however, the U.S. loses, then the retaliation phase of the case would start, and, what now is kind of draft and mock and, an internal discussion in Canada and Mexico about, what products and sectors should be on the list, becomes a very real issue with the WTO involved in refereeing, economic injury claims between the United States and these other two countries about the level of retaliation and so on. But we're not at that point now.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
When it comes to the 6 months, I know that the USDA has released some guidance on the implementation of these new labels that they are calling for within COOL. How do you see, I know that you guys have asked for a longer time, has USDA been responsive of that? If this process does go forward and we do have to see changes, within the next 6 months, but we're still seeing some things at the WTO not cleared up, what kind of situation does that put you and the industry in?
Well, it puts the industry in a difficult spot. As it stands now, as you said, we're looking at a phase-in with a full effective date of 6 months out. Well, the WTO process is, as I said, likely to take longer than 6 months. Makes no sense. It would be like in civil litigation, it would be like an agency changing its practice when that practice was on a remand or under a court review. So, we, MPPC, and I think all the other, FMI and AMI and all the other associations involved in this and, the companies, we all asked for a longer period of time. We're frankly frustrated that we haven't gotten it, and we're going to continue to push for it because we don't think it makes any sense for the U.S. to fully implement a provision of law which is under WTO scrutiny and which, frankly, most of the lawyers in the private sector in not only Mexico and Canada, but the United States feel that might not pass WTO scrutiny.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Tom Ritter from radio station WNAX. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good morning. Nick, Tom Ryder, WNEX. Curious on the TTIP. I understand France is threatening to hold up those negotiations unless radios and TVs and that type of thing are talked about. Does everything pretty much need to be on the table before these negotiations begin rather than any holdups?
Well, yeah, this is, Tom, it's the cultural, so-called cultural exemption you're talking about. And this issue is under discussion in Europe. We're being told that the Council of Ministers is going to vote affirmatively tomorrow, and there will be a mandate for the Commission to negotiate. I'm sure there'll be some language that expresses concerns about the cultural issue, as well as some other things. But my view, and we'll see what happens here, but I doubt that this issue or any other issue is going to be pulled off the table. Because once you pull one thing off the table, you know, what's next? And, you know, before you know it, the entire negotiation begins to unravel. So we'll see. We expect the vote tomorrow, but I believe that everything will be on the table. And of course, NPPC's position, not only in TTIP but in any FTA negotiation, is that it must be comprehensive. Everything must be included, and nothing should be decided until everything is decided. And that's typically been the way the U.S. has negotiated FTAs, and that's the way that the TTIP should be negotiated. And that specifically is called a single undertaking. So it should be comprehensive, and we shouldn't have an agreement until everything is decided with a single undertaking.
Our next question comes from the line of Bruce Cochran from farmscape.ca. Your line is now open.
You mentioned that numerous steps or every step that can be taken to protect the U.S. pork industry will be taken with regards to mandatory country of origin labeling. What might those steps include? What can the U.S. pork industry do to smooth relations and avoid further consequences?
Well, Bruce, as you know, NPPC we were opposed to the congressional legislation. We thought it went way too far. We have concerns with this new rule, and we're going to do everything within our power to make sure that the United States government complies with WTO rules. So I think, you know, we're in the same posture as everyone, which is we're looking to see what the WTO does, and if the WTO rules adversely to the United States, we're going to make sure that we're going to do everything within our power to make sure that the U.S. Implements the WTO finding. Having said that, we're also trying to move forward domestically in the context of the Farm Bill, which frankly has been a little bit difficult to try and fix this matter, and it seems that most members are of the mind that let's just wait to see what the WTO does. Our preference would be to solve this sooner rather than later. We believe that there's a way here to provide important label information to the consumer to be in compliance with our WTO obligations and not to impose significant and extraordinary costs on the industry. So we'd like to see that happen sooner rather than later, but it may be we've got to wait 6 months to a year for the WTO process to play out before we know what the next step will be.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star, then the one key on your touch-tone telephone. I'm showing no further questions at this time.
If there's no further questions, this is Randy. I sure appreciate everyone taking the time to join in the teleconference today, and appreciate taking the time to be with us. So with that, we'll close the conference. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes today's program. You may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.